Our opening song is called Heart of the Mother. You may have heard it. I am one with the heart of the mother. I am one with the heart of love. I am one with the heart of the father. I am one with God. A little brightness on this wonderful lady's eyes, and we're going to solve that with the flip of the wrist. Better? And we're going to solve, is this one? Oh, these two as well. Okay, you know what? As a friend of mine said, everybody's needs matter. Everybody's needs matter. More better?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please feel free to join along if you would like. Of love, light, truth, and peace. when I'm the place in you, where when you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. And we invite you to take these words into the meditation. Where we quiet the mind and relax, become more aware of the voice of Spirit, our eternal true voice. As we breathe in, we allow ourselves to become more aware of our spirit, in spirit, inspiration, breathing in. And as we breathe out, we let go of all that no longer serves us, old ideas, old belief systems, breathing in more peace, more wisdom, more love, more joy. And breathing that awareness out into the universe to share with all of life. Allow the music now to take you on your very own sacred journey into the peace of God. Into the awareness of our true divine nature. Thank you. itself. Melt into the silence. Thank you, Great Spirit, Father, Mother, God, Goddess, all that is, for reminding us the truth of who we are, for allowing us to be in this sacred sanctuary, where we come to remind each other of our beauty and our wholeness and our worthiness and our innocence. Aho, Amin, Amen. All is well, all is well, God is balanced, all is well, there's perfection everywhere, all is well.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn. I thought we'd like to say, and now a word from our sponsor.
I don't know how I can top that.
It was here in the past. Let me see which one she's choosing. That's the one I was thinking. Wow. Yay! By the way, I would like to say a blessing and a thank you for the wonderful 8 people that showed up last night for our afternoon, Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock are a really challenging time for some people, but we like to do it early so people have their evening. And I would also like to ask Angelina a question. What's our magic number?
13.
We have 13 plus 1.
Oh.
That's our magic number. We always feel that 13 is a number to where all of a sudden it becomes a full co-creation. There is some history around the number 13 of the superstition, but it's the superstition is like all superstitions. It's based on fear. Mm-hmm. You know, we were afraid of women at one time. You're afraid of them. That's why we did what we did to them. And it was fear of the power. And 13 is powerful. And different types of people, different types of style, different types of gender identification, all that. We're afraid of it sometimes because it's power. It's different. It's changed. It's inviting us all to accept ourselves fully. I had a tendency to stick out and be different when I was a kid, and I just went with it, and I got made fun of a lot. Class clown, the whole nine yards. Angelina had an inner freak flag, but she was always afraid to fly it until she met me. So we both responded differently to society, but still, neither one of us felt like we could totally be ourselves and be accepted all the time. So we all have our own versions of that, and the folks that are the most different are the greatest teachers. I always tell people I'm a gay heterosexual because I have a female partner, but I like to have fun. You know, all right. So this song is called Okay at the End. You may have heard us sing it before. It was based on a movie that we saw called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Oh, it's good. Saw it.
The young innkeeper, he was very much into this movie, even if he didn't know it, which was true for many of us before we found this kind of philosophy. He always, when people would complain, he would say, everything will be okay in the end. And they would say, yes, but it's not okay now. And he'd go, must not be the end. I have to write a song about that. So we'll teach you to sing and you can join in. Here we go. Everything will be okay in the end. It's not okay, it's not the end. Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Nothing in this universe will ever last. So if you're feeling low, this too shall pass. Nothing in this universe will ever last. So if you're feeling low, this too shall pass. Because everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. We're going to shout la la la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la. Every happy song is a sha la la la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la. When the darkness seems to hide you away, after every night, a brand new day. Even when the darkness seems to hide you away, after every night, a brand new day. A brand new day. A sunny Franklin day, blue for the mountains. Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end.
I said, you got it.
Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end.
We're gonna sha la 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 again.
Sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la.
All right, here comes the tricky part, people.
Even when it all just seems to go your way, don't get attached, it's going to end. Even when it all just seems to go your way, no matter how many times you saw a secret, it's still going to change. That's okay, so everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end.
Just the audience.
Everything will be okay in the end.
If it's not okay, it's not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end.
So if you don't like the weather, wait a day.
It's not the end. It's
not the end. Can't believe what we talk about in the news, our politics.
It's not the end.
It's not the end. We got another person coming in.
It's funny because Russ used to say about me that I'm a gay man trapped in a straight woman's body.
There you go.
And he said that forever. And I was like, first it was like, what? And it's like, yes!
And Angelina says that because I like rom-coms and chick flicks.
You know? There you go. Okay. Armand is an award-winning songwriter and inspirational speaker.
Thank you for that introduction. That's one of the nicest things I've written.
Thank you for writing it.
I'd also like to say a little prayer of thanksgiving, because last night there was a little short in the system, and it wasn't that big a deal because we were playing music and having a lot of fun. But when the meditation was going on today and it got real silent, I was like, thank God we found what that little thing was. We had a little loose cord in my wireless that we at least hoped that's what it was. And then this morning we get here and I'm thinking, that would have been very obnoxious. It would have been very hard for me to be in the now if that was going on. So thank you, spirits and angels that made that work out there. So we're delighted to be back. I found that it's been 3 years since we were here. I thought it was 2 years, but it's been 3 years. Time flies. And been coming to this building since the early 2000s. It's been some different forms and things like that, but the Lovers Room. And I remember we came through here on our way somewhere once, and there was a Urantia club that was meeting. I think it might have been in the building over here. They were studying the Urantia book at the time. So I don't know if that was some of you or the other people that were involved all these years. I mean, it's been 25 years, lots of years. So I will we'll do one more joy song, and then we'll go into the message part of our program. So this is called Make Peace, and the words are very simple. Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now. When the news is saying stuff that you can't stand, which is probably for most of us at all times, that's when it's more important to make peace within you so you can have the peace. I think Martin Luther King Jr. liked to find a way to be at peace within himself through all the stuff he was trying to make change. And he said something, I don't know if he wrote it, but he said something like the curve of morality always bends towards justice. It just might not be in this exact moment. Okay. All right, we'll give you a start and hopefully you join us.
Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now.
That's it.
Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now. Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now. Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now. If every journey begins with a single step, I'm taking my first step now. If we are to be the change that we want to see, I'm changing my step now.
Always a good place to start, the one in the mirror.
Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now.
Like the margarita, we got hand movements.
Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now.
How long we gonna get a little funky?
Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for there to be peace on earth, make peace within you now.
Yo, don't wait for peace to come. Be the change you want to see. Bonnie said that, yo.
All right, well, we are so happy to be here, and our talk today is titled, I Now Pronounce You Not Guilty. And we will be talking about our innocence, our lovability, and our worthiness.
So, I don't know about you, but in my earliest church experiences growing up, I heard something that was very disturbing. Anybody else hear anything growing up? I'm not alone. I'm with my tribe. You were born in original sin. Yeah, that's what I heard. And it just didn't sit right with me. There was something like that. Wait a second. And what really didn't sit right with me was that this was supposed to be a spiritual truth. This is supposed to be like a message from a higher being. Now, why would a higher being have an idea that it created us to be born in sin? It just never really resonated with me. I just kind of blew it off. And then more and more of those kind of things kept building up until I finally got out of it completely and then eventually migrated to wonderful places like this many, many, many years later. And so then I started going to more metaphysical churches, new thought churches. We just spent a day in a place called Lilydale, New York, which is a really neat metaphysical place. We were on our way to Unity of Buffalo and we got to spend a whole day there. There was some haunted places. We stayed in this haunted place and these ghosts were mischievous, moving our stuff. Like it was scary, but they weren't really scary because they were moving our stuff. And then she'd be blow drying her hair, and she'd set her blow dryer down, and it would change the setting, and she'd put it back in. So we decided to talk to them and just say, "Look, we want you to know, we come from peace. Take us to your leader. We come in peace, and we're not here to disturb you. We're just here to kind of stay and hang out." But we found out later that yeah, they're very mischievous and love to have fun. But you know, I found my way to. Yes, sir.
Did the ghost? Were the ghosts born in original sin?
I like that. You know, that reminds me a lot of this TV show that we just fell in love with a few years ago called Ted Lasso. Did anybody watch Ted Lasso? Yeah. So it was the only what I would call self-help TV series that I ever heard
of.
Apple TV. It was a three-season arc kind of thing. And it was really about, it really addressed men's emotional health. We dealt with a lot of high-powered soccer players. You wonder if some, you know, super, super world leaders in sports might have some daddy issues. You know, maybe, you know. Anyway, so it dealt with that kind of stuff. And his goal as their coach was to help them see the light in themselves. And it was a three season arc on self help and that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, the Bidens invited the cast of Ted Lasso to come to the White House and talk to folks about men's mental health from a TV show. It's really weird. But Ted said something like this. Somebody asked Ted, "Do you believe in angels?" And Ted said something like you. He says, "I do believe in angels, but I think it's more important that they believe in themselves." If you don't like that corny, punny dad joke type stuff, don't watch that show. Because Ted is loaded with punny dad stuff like that all the time. So the main thing that I get from all of this spirit and metaphysics is that we were born as an original blessing, not as an original sin. And that's what makes the most sense, and that's what your poem that your brother wrote is saying. That's your brother, right?
Yes.
That's what he wrote, that we were born as an original blessing, not as long as we do something a certain way, but just period. You're born as an original blessing. And so once I got that idea, then I became a seeker of spirituality because I thought, okay, now they're leading. I want to find out where I'm being led because I like this open light of ideas of blessing and that we're perfect, holy children of God. And so decided that I would do some deep work on shame and guilt and whatever I heard on the outside that I interpreted as being wrong with me. And then 25, 30 years of teaching that. And so that's what we're going to be talking a lot about, shame and guilt. And what we, when we put people ahead of ourselves, when we think their opinion of us is worth more than our opinion of us. Has anybody ever done that?
Yes.
Usually we do that with our family member, our, you know, teachers. We look up to them, and when they tell us stuff, like a lot of times parents and caregivers are like, oh, you're such a good person, as long as you're not inconveniencing them. The minute you inconvenience, bad boy, you know, you can't imagine how many times I heard that. I was always in trouble, always trying something new, always, you know,
yeah,
trying to erase boundaries. So I heard that a lot.
Yeah.
And so it imprinted on me, and part of me believed it. And we're going to be singing a song a little bit later about what happens when we believe a lie. But that whole idea that we are beautiful, innocent, holy, blessings to the world, just the way that we are, gets squished a little bit when our peers and our people we look up to especially, and caregivers, tell us a different story. And so this whole message we're going to give today is about reclaiming your beauty and your innocence and who you really are.
Right, so we study something called real love.
We started going to something called real love.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But we studied it.
Oh, studied. I thought you said started something.
Oh, no, see, studied.
Wait,
I didn't say
wait,
that.
Wait.
So anyway, his work is really, really good. He talks about unconditional love and that we're all wanting to be loved and all. And when we don't feel unconditional love, we have behaviors. We have behaviors like lying, attacking, clinging, running, and acting like a victim. And I know I've done some of those, yes? So when we're in those behaviors, you know, we want this love, but when we're in these behaviors, we're actually pushing people away from us. And so he talks about how to realize when you're in the behavior and how you can change that.
And he actually calls the behavior imitation love, or by trying to get imitation love. Like, okay, well, they don't love me the way I am, but if I do nice things for them, mm-hmm. then they'll think I'm great. That's imitation love. That's not unconditional love. You know, it's not I love you, period, no matter what. He gives some wonderful examples. One of my favorite examples is, he says, when you are feeling disturbed, especially by someone, or at least you perceive it as by them, you don't want to take that energy out on that person. So what he says is, when you get triggered and disturbed, frustrated or angry or any of that, what will happen is that you will, you won't be at your best self. You'll be sort of emptied out. He calls it emptied out. Or on some level, you'll feel like you're drowning. And people that are emptied out and messed up and feeling like they're drowning are not probably going to be all that loving to other people when you're around them. So he gives a bunch of really great stories about that. He says, you know, call somebody that's not related to the situation and talk to them, you know, and get filled back up again. Find a way to maybe go someplace quiet and scream. Let that out. Let that out.
I find for me, I learned this through my menopause time, that I could feel like things were heating up, and I'm not always sure why that is, but if I don't leave the room in that moment, I'm going to blow up, and it's not going to be kind or loving. So what I've learned is, when I feel that, I just tell Armand, I have to leave and go outside for a few minutes, but I'm not abandoning the situation or whatever's going on. I just need to kind of center and figure out what's going on. So I go outside, and I sit in my chair, and I just sit there so I figure out what's going on. And so, you know, is it my stuff, and I'm just like, or is it something we need to talk about so it doesn't happen again? And I never go back in the house until I figured out what it is. And 90-something percent of the time, it's me, and we don't really need to talk about it. I just need to be aware of that whatever is in me, what that is. And so when I come in, he usually apologizes, even though I'm not asking for that, because it was really my
While she was gone, I figured out how I could have maybe said what I said in a more loving, considerate, and possible way. Ah. Yeah, so we both are getting what we need without getting into what Gary Bear calls the field of death. By the way, when you did this, well, if you wouldn't have been this, and you get in that field of death where everybody dies, on some level, everybody's getting in all that kind of stuff. And so you have a great story about...
Well, let me just throw one more thing. This is from someone else. So Michael Singer is another fabulous teacher for us. And he wrote The Untethered Soul. And he said to lean back and be the observer. Right? And so that's really good. Also, another way that you can, if you're in a situation, just I find if you physically lean back, it stops you in where you are. And I just think that's another great tool.
Yeah, what he called it. Yes, ma'am.
The he for the that thing you were following.
The real love
something. Who was the he?
Real love is Greg Bear, Dr. Greg Bear. And he's got books like Real Love, Real Love in Marriage, Real Love in Parenting, Real Love in the Workplace. You know, so it's the same kind of story, but these tools are effective ways because what he says is when you yell at somebody or you get angry at somebody, you say, I'm so disappointed in you, and you make me so frustrated, and you're driving me nuts. And he says, what the inner child hears is the same thing. I'm not lovable. They don't hear all that stuff. They just hear, I'm not lovable. Because if I were lovable, this person would not be treating me that way. And Greg Bear says, that's the most important thing, is that on some level, our whole inner family feels lovable. And that's our job, to remind them and hang out with other people that remind them. And so that really, really changed me because, sometimes before we were doing that work, I would get frustrated. I can't believe that you put all my stuff away and now I don't know where it is. And then when I realized, oh my God, if I do it like that, with that energy, she's going to hear I'm unlovable, which is the last thing I want my beautiful wife to ever hear. So it changed the way I did it. I said, okay, I know you put my stuff away because I know you love me and you want everything to be nice to me. Or I could call one of my friends, Renee. Oh my God, she did it again. She drives me freaking nuts. But what I'm doing is I'm getting that energy out, not on her. I'm getting the energy out with a friend that can fill me up and remind me that everything's okay. And when I'm in a calm space, I can come back. Please don't have to do that again. Anyway, whatever. But you see, it's a whole energy, and we can use that in all of our relationships to remind people. Because the last thing we want is the people we love to feel unlovable. We don't want them to do what they did. But we've got to figure out a way to do that without giving them the message, you're only lovable as long as you don't put my stuff where I can't find it. If you get that message, that's what is going to be going on. So years ago, my biggest challenge in this lifetime, my biggest challenge with a human was a childhood caretaker that did not want to have to take care of me after my mom left, but was sort of forced. And never wanted it, never liked it, and I just always felt like I was a burden. And even at 50, I still felt like I was a burden to her, because we were talking, I would always feel like, oh, I'm just a burden. And because her opinion of me was more important to me than my opinion of me. What a terrible way to live life. And it's awful. Somebody you love, that's not even love. Love is I love you unconditionally. Your opinion of me is more important than my own. That's just sick worship. That's just not love. That is also invitation tucking out. But that's what she wanted, and that's what I willingly gave. I can't say she made me. I always like to say this. We can go back to our childhood and hold accountable where the seeds of despair were planted. But who watered them for years and years and years and years? And that's us. So I have to take responsibility. I can look back, at 4 years old and say, oh, I can see where I got this. But I'm the one through relationship, watered those seeds of growing up. So one day, we had been broken up from like 96 till about 2008. And then we became good friends again. and it was really great, and we both apologized, and it was one of these miraculous, like, Hallmark movies things. We both went to a real intensive workshop called the Hoffman Quadrinity Process. I don't know if you know what it is, but it's a 9-day family of origin, beating stuff with a pillow, get it all out of your system, just crazy stuff. And we both went to it different times, and we both got it. And we were like best of friends, and we had this deal. All bets are off. In other words, whatever we did in the past, forget about that. We're starting with Hallmark. And for a year and a half, it was magical. But somehow, after that, we went right back into that old freaking pattern, and it was horrible again. So one day, she called me, and she left me a message about something that I had done wrong, and I wasn't good enough and that kind of thing. And we both listened to the message, and she goes, Angelina goes, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I'm done. I'm done. I tried it before. We got back. I'm done. It's getting married to the same person twice, and then realizing that's why you got divorced the first time. Although, I do hear a lot of success stories with second marriages. They grow up. They go back. And then they're the people that they were hoping to get the first time. So I'm not putting down a second marriage, that can work. But this situation didn't work. And she goes, you're going to apologize, you're going to do what she says. And I said, no, I'm not. Now this was, I guess, in 2012, so I was about 51. And she goes, really? You know what happened last time you did something like that? She stopped talking to you for 8 years. And I said, I love myself more than I love her loving me. And she said, that sounds like a song. So this is, I love myself more than I love you loving me. It's a chant. Those are the only words I needed. I don't need anything else. And we're going to sing that a few times. I love myself more than I love you loving me. I love myself, my love. I love myself more than I love you loving me. I love myself, my love. Sing with us if you like. I love myself more than I love you loving me. I love myself, my love. I love myself more than I love you loving me. I love myself, my love. I love myself more than I love you loving me. I love myself, my love. I love myself, my love. And sometimes it's as simple as that, is realizing that you no longer want to put someone else's opinion of you above your own. So, Angelina, do you have a wonderful story about a pool party?
I do, okay. And this is from Greg Bear. So she says, you know, you're sitting by the pool and you're drinking an iced tea, having a wonderful time with your friend, and some water splashes on you, and you don't really say anything. You know, it's just kids playing in the pool and all, so you kind of let it go, and you're talking and enjoying, and then some more water is splashed on you. This time, it's quite a bit more. And you're getting a little agitated, but you don't say anything.
There's also a lot of noise going on, a bunch of screaming. Oh, what's wrong with these kids?
And so then, a third time, now, you are soaked because they're really splashed water on you, and you turn around and you're angry, and you say, you know, to stop it, and you realize it's someone drowning. Now, does your energy totally change when you realize someone is drowning? So when you see people in behaviors, know that they're drowning, and that's why they're splashing water on you. When they're like lying or attacking or whatever, they're splashing water on you and they're drowning. And so you have, either to stay away or fill, you have to be filled up with unconditional love before you could go and try to help someone who's drowning. So you just check in and see, well, I don't feel filled up enough to really help that person, so I think I'm just going to go within and stay by myself on this one. But that's such a good tool, you know. Just know if they're in behaviors, they're drowning. They're drowning for love, for that unconditional love.
Right, and If you watch the news, you're going to have plenty of opportunities. We're not talking about any particular type of politics, but guaranteed anybody that watches the news is going to find people they can't stand that are in places of power. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do your work of raising the vibration of the planet if you let them have free rent in your brain. And so many people we know allow so many different political people to have all this free rent in their brain. And you've got so much beautiful love to give, and you get to find out how you want to vote and find out what kind of an activist you want to be in whatever you want to do, but to do it not because somebody's in there taking up your beautiful peace because you can't stop judging them and thinking of all these horrible things about them all the time. We have friends that they just have given their life away to certain people in the country. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, spend that money and time on us. You know, anyway, so that would be good. All right, so they're drowning. When you see somebody that you see on TV and you know that they're not telling the truth and they're not being in integrity, whoever that is, they're drowning. And what can I do to make my country a better place? And again, be an activist for what you believe in. Totally support that. Vote the way that you want to vote. Totally support that. But don't let them win. Okay, that's enough of that. We like to stay very chill. We like to say that the left wing and the right wing, we need them to fly well together so the American bald eagle will work. So let's get them both working in tandem. All right, so before we go into our final song, I told you I was going to tell you a story. We used to watch Oprah every day. Now, I don't know if you have had one of those, but it's called a VCR. From way back in the ancient dinosaur ages. And we had a VHS tape, it was like this big. And we had both of us, and I had to put it in. So we put the VHS tape in, and then tape over it like 3 o'clock. And then we'd watch her that evening in bed on the VHS tape. And one day, she had a couple of men there that had gotten out of jail. And they had spent at least 10 years in jail. And they had been charged with taking the lives of family members. And both men had gotten out because of the Innocence Project, which tries to use things like DNA and things like that to get innocent people out of jail. They believe a lot of people are falsely accused and falsely jailed, which is true, apparently. So these two gentlemen were completely exonerated, different crimes, different, they didn't know each other, but they were both in the show. Because of DNA testing, they proved with data and science that it wasn't them. I don't know if they found the real people or what, but they were on the hook show to talk about their experience. And as you could probably tell, their families and they were really, really glad to be out and be finally proven innocent and getting on with their life. They didn't seem to have a whole lot of anger. They just wanted to move on with their lives. But they both said something that really flipped all of us out. And that was, they had confessed to the crime. Yeah. And it was like, what? Made no sense. So I started studying a little bit more about this kind of stuff a little bit later so I could find out under that. But in that moment, they asked them why. And they said it was a combination of many things. Number one, family members were gone. We were taken into custody as suspects. We were traumatized by the whole event, but traumatized by the death too. Traumatized by the death. Traumatized by being put in jail. Traumatized by all of it, and then constantly interrogated. Yeah. If you just admit it, yeah. If you just admit it, we won't talk to you about it anymore. We'll give you a lighter sentence. We need that. And in honor of the police, they are trying to get to the bottom of these situations so they can deal with other kinds of things. So if they really believe somebody did it, they want to get them to confess so they can wrap it up and move on to doing other things. So it's not intentionally to, I don't believe, hopefully, to get somebody to confess to something they didn't do. They just want to wrap it up. And the men both said something to the effect of a combination between trauma and confusion over all of the interrogation and just wanting their voices to stop. And I got it. And I started crying. She goes, what's going on? I said, we've all got a version of that. People we love say a bunch of stuff. I'm like, no, no, we're not. That's not me. I'm not like that. No, I'm not. And eventually, okay, whatever, yeah, you're right, I suck, shut up. You know, just to stop the voices. And those voices, they can be very, very persuasive. And the ones that are in our head after people leave our lives are sometimes even more persuasive and pervasive, both of them. And so it's very important to listen to the true part of yourself. Michael Singer always says, do not listen to your inner neurotic. Your inner neurotic is messed up and they will tell you you're messed up. Don't listen to them. We've named ours. You know, I'll sometimes say, so-and-so's in the house right now. Yeah, ain't been a real jerk, you know. And like she said, lean back. You know, you can identify the part of you that's the real you and the part of you that's your ego or your neurotic or whatever, trying to get you in trouble. And so I wrote this song based upon what I was feeling in that moment and the last thing that we did. This is called Innocent. Oh, I'm not going to do that till the end of it.
Are you
going to
play those beautiful flutes?
I did play some of them in the service, but I have a quote. What I can't stand is when people use the pulpit to self-promote. I'm going to, at the end of the, after the song, I'm going to read something from my book. I'm now pronouncing my book. Okay. And when they asked him why, he said, I did not know the truth. He was innocent. I thought about my own life, how I was like that kid when they told me I was bad. Offered my confession to what they said I did and lost the childhood I once had. I am innocent. I did nothing wrong. I've been serving time for this crime for way too long. I am not to blame for what I didn't do. There is nothing I need to prove. I am innocent. You are innocent. This is the time for justice. Get it right, you know what? We're finally hearing the whole truth. I fired all my jewels and got the pardon I deserve. And now I'm free of the inmates too. You are innocent. You did nothing wrong. You've been serving time for the crime for way too long. You are not to blame for what you didn't do. There is nothing you need to prove. We are innocent. We did nothing wrong. We've been serving time for the crime for way too long. We are not to blame for what we didn't do. There is nothing you need to prove. I am innocent.
You are so lovable.
You are innocent.
Who you are is so important.
We are innocent.
You deserve so much love.
There is nothing you need to prove. I am innocent.
You are worthy.
You are innocent.
You are perfect in every way.
We are innocent. So here we are, a part of the tapestry of the universe, playing our parts perfectly and divinely. We have more than enough evidence to convince any jury of our innocence. There are very few limits to our capabilities. There are, however, some absolute limitations. No matter how hard we try, it is impossible for us to be unlovable. It is equally impossible for us to get it wrong. Who's trying? Okay, I know I have. It's absolutely impossible for us to be anything less than the divine, eternal, worthy, innocent beings we have always been. Thus, it is impossible, ultimately, for us ever to be truly convicted of not being enough. In that case, an acquittal of our original case is inevitable. I now pronounce us all not guilty.